Thank you, Brother Ron, for that good song service. And thank you, Brother Randy, for that fine prayer. I sure appreciate it. We all appreciate it. We're so thankful that you and your family are with us. My daughter Patty is with us again tonight. We're thankful that she's with us. Brother Don is back. And we're always glad to see you, Don, you and Sharon. And everybody else, you're supposed to be here. So we're glad you're here. Now, I recently read an account of a visit that a preacher made to a rather large congregation during which he had been invited to preach. And as he began his lesson, he noticed a little gray-haired lady sitting very near the front, adjusting her headphones. She then plugged them into the sound jack on the back of the pew in front of her. She settled back, and she gave all of her attention as he was speaking. Things were progressing pretty well in the early part of the sermon. He had many complimentary things to say, and the elderly lady was nodding her head in agreement, in approval. But eventually he reached the point in the lesson where some needed rebuke and admonition was needed, and the preacher was kind of surprised to see the little old lady remove the headphones and deliberately yank the plug from the sound system. She had heard all she was going to hear. She deliberately broke the connection. She just tuned him out. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people have a certain breaking point, a point beyond which they will not listen? The word of the Lord may be heard with gladness, but when some unpleasant truth is presented to them, they break the connection and tune the Lord and the Lord's spokesman out. Have you ever seen a little child just throw a temper tantrum, put his hands over his ears, and start screaming so he keep from hearing? Well, that's essentially the way that some folks act when they reach their tuning out points of the Word of God. But you know what? That really should not be surprising, because our Lord spoke of such individuals when he quoted Isaiah's prophecy in Matthew the 13th chapter. Come with me and let's read that. Matthew chapter 13. The Bible tells us that Jesus said in verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Brethren, they had turned Jesus out. They had just tuned him out. There are those who will tune God out at the very time when the instructions that they most need to hear are being given. Have you ever considered how very often God's Word has said, "Hear ye, hear ye"? He pleaded time and time again with Israel to hearken unto His words and to be warned. Proverbs 28 and verse 9 tells us, "He that turneth away his ear from the hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." God is still crying to us today. He's still crying to us, "Hear ye, hear ye." But oh, there are those breaking points, those tuning out times. For many people today, the idea of needing book, chapter, and verse for all that we do of a religious nature, in other words, the need for authority for our actions, proved to be their tuning out time. Most of you are aware that several years ago, I was on a live call-in radio show called Bible Talk. And someone once said on the radio program, when we were discussing Bible authority, they said, "Can't you just bend the rules a little bit?" Since we're told that Christians walk by faith and not by sight, and since we're told that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it is absolutely unavoidable that if we're going to do something by faith, it must be found in the Word of God. And that demands book, chapter, and verse. We're told to not go beyond that which is written in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. And again, the same warning we have in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. And let's read that. Revelation 22, chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says in verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." This, by the way, is a repetition of what was stated in Deuteronomy 4:2. And this principle applies to all scriptures. We are not to add to or take away from God's Word. We're told that we must abide within the doctrine of Christ or lose the fellowship that we have with the Father and the Son in 2 John 9. All of this, taken together, cries out for the need for authority in our religious practices. This means that all man-made additions to God's revealed Word must fall by the wayside, and most people will not give them up. Demand book, chapter, and verse, and many will just pull the jack out of the sound system. Again, the radio program has clearly pointed out another tuning out point in the religious world in general. When we talk about the fact on a radio program that a Christian is accountable for the way they live and they can lose their salvation, the city resounds with a demand, with the sound of radios being turned off, their eyes being shut, and their ears being stopped, and their minds being closed. They turn us out. They tune us out. They tune us out. Look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I've been amazed at the anger with which people will disregard such passages as Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 29, which tells us, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Brethren and friends, probably the biggest tuning out point of all shouldn't surprise us. And yet it really continues to surprise me every time it occurs. So why shouldn't it be a surprise? Look with me at Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke, the 7th chapter, in verse 29 and 30. Verse 29, Luke 7. "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." Now these Jewish Pharisees and the lawyers broke the connection at baptism. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves rather than to submit to the will of God in baptism. You ever hear of anything like that lately? Does it sound familiar? Yes, there are multitudes and multitudes who will listen to the plan of salvation until baptism is mentioned, and then God is tuned out. And as I stand here right now, there are thousands upon thousands of preachers across the United States denying that baptism is necessary for salvation. But you know what? Try as they may. Jesus plainly said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's Mark 16:16. And these words will never change. Throngs will hear the Lord to this point, and at that point they've heard enough. They'll listen to Peter on the sermon on the Pentecost until they reach Acts 2:37 and 2:38, and then they tune him out. They want to hear of Saul's conversion, but they want to stay on the road to Damascus. They don't want to come into the city with Saul and hear what Ananias told him to do to wash away his sins. They want the blessings in Christ, but they don't want to hear how to get into Christ where the blessings are located. Yet, they want to be saved, but they refuse to hear what Peter says about how this is accomplished in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. So they break the connection, they pull the jack out of the sound system, so to speak. All of this is so disturbing. It's so disturbing. But when you really think about it, it's not so surprising, is it? The reason so many are in various denominations in the first place is because they have become so adept at tuning God out whenever something contrary to their practices and their doctrines is mentioned. Come with me to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. Now the reason some are not religious at all is their ability at tuning God out. The same thing happened in the days of our Lord. In John chapter 6, at the conclusion of one of the greatest discourses ever recorded of Jesus, we find beginning in verse 60 these words. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They had just tuned him out. They had tuned our Lord out. What is surprising, however, is that so many within the body of Christ also have their tuning out points. Do any of us have our tuning out points? Do any of us reach up and just pull the jack out of the sound system? Well, let's talk about a few of these tuning out points that relate most especially to Christians. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 again, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Brethren, is it possible that any of us here simply need to hear Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25, or 23 through 25, and then we immediately shut down? Is that possible? Hebrews 10 and verse 23 through 25 reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Listen now. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He tells us not to forsake the assembly. Not to forsake the assembly, whether it's a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday night. Do not forsake the assembling, he says. Could it be possible that some of us here at Prairie Village simply choose not to hear? Is the subject of attending all of the services of the congregation to the point at which some here would say this is an hard saying? Who can hear it? Or could it possibly be that the area of entertainment, some here have their tuning out point in entertainment? Is it possible when the necessity of remaining pure in what we do for recreation is brought up, some of us just tune out? Is that possible? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Familiar passage, we all know this. But in light of such passages as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul wrote, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Do you ever think on these things? Do you ever think on these things? Understand now, I am not trying to be holier than thou. But, and you've probably heard me say this before, I carry this passage in my billfold at all times and have for years and years. And believe me, there are many times when I have to get it out and read it. I need that. It wouldn't hurt for any of us to do that. But is it possible that some here are still renting or going to the theater to view the R-rated movies? Is it possible that you are still going to watch those soap operas? Is it possible you're going to watch those highly immoral evening programs that glorify fornication and drunkenness and all sorts of immoral acts? Are you going to listen to music no matter what the words say or what the songs are about just because we want to listen to what we want to listen to when we want to listen to it? Do any of us have tuning out points in these areas? Or how about when we talk about modesty? Is it possible that any here at Prairie Village figuratively unplug the headphones when we begin to talk about the way we might appear in public? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And brethren and friends, whether we tune out or not, God's Word still says in 1 Timothy 2 verses 9 and 10, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." This principle includes all of us, brethren, men and women, includes us all. So is it possible that there's a tuning out point when the inappropriateness of a Christian participating in mixed swimming or the inappropriateness of the modern dance is being discussed? Do we tune it out? Ephesians chapter 4, turn with me, please. Is it possible that some here might tune out when we speak of the necessity of each member of this congregation supplying to the best of their ability what they can do? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Paul wrote, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Paul says here that every part, every joint, or every one of us has a work to do. We are to never quit working for the Lord. Never. We never get that old or anything. We never quit. Is it possible when we discuss each of us doing what we can for in the work that some of us just pull the plug, having already determined that we weren't going to do anything? Could that be possible? Is it possible that some may say, I've already done my part, let the young ones do it, let somebody else do it, I'm tired, I've retired, I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, this is your attitude. Read with me what our Lord says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 about this. Jesus said in Luke 17:10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I'm proud of it. My mother was teaching a Bible class at the age of 89 when she died. You never get too old to do the work of the Lord if you're healthy. Never. So I want to talk to the men just for a minute. Men, I want you to think about this in terms of things needed to be done during service. Are you doing all you're capable of doing? Are you tuning out saying, no, I'm not going to do it? Are you tuning out? If you can be a teacher with a little work, are you doing it or are you tuning out? If you can lead in prayer, are you doing it or are you tuning out? If you can give an invitation with a little work, are you doing it or are you tuning out? If you can preside over the Lord's table, are you doing it or just tuning out? If you can lead singing with a little work, are you doing it or just tuning out? How you're responding to this part of the sermon, right here and right now, may just give you the answer. So what's the point of all this? Well, the point is there some point where any of us refuse to listen to the Word of God? I wish you'd come with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to read verse 48. Now, before any of us figuratively jerk the plug and tune the Lord out, remember His words of John 12 and verse 48. Our Lord said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Brethren and friends, brethren, we cannot accept some of God's word all of the time and think it's okay, because it's not. You cannot accept all of God's words some of the time and think it's okay, because it is not. With Jesus, it is all or nothing. With Jesus, it is all or nothing. Think about that. You better think about it. These are not just words. With Jesus, it's all or nothing. He said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. What's the Lord's point here? The Lord's point is you can't go halfway with Him. It's all or nothing. Friends and brethren, we're not going to go to heaven on a group plan. Nobody's going to stumble into heaven. Nobody's going to go to heaven accidentally. Planning for heaven is truly the only plan that makes any sense. The plan of salvation that God has given us is so easy to understand. First, you must hear the gospel preached. Then you must have faith in Christ and in God. Then you must repent of your sins. Then you must be baptized for the remission of those sins. And then you must live faithfully until death. And if there's anyone here that has done these things, but maybe you've you've fallen away. Maybe you haven't come to church as you should. You too need to take care of that. You may ask, do I have time to get ready? Can I get ready? Is it too late? Absolutely not. It is not too late. If you will take care of it right now before you leave this building. Because we don't have no guarantee that any of us are even going to make it home before the Lord comes back. We don't know. We don't know. A good friend of my granddaughter was over today. My granddaughter was over today, and she was talking about a good friend of hers. She was with her 2 weeks ago. She's 31 years old. They're going to bury her tomorrow. She was at work. All of a sudden she said, I don't feel good. She went down on one knee. They took her to the hospital. She had a viral infection of some kind and went straight to her heart. And she died, huh? And to the brain. She died at 31 years, healthy as anybody. But she's dead now. She wasn't a Christian either. So think about that. Just because we all think, well, I'm going to live to be 85, I'm going to live to be 90, and don't bet on it. Don't bet your life on it. Think about it. If you need to take care of anything, whether it's becoming a Christian or whether it's a repenting of your sins, of whether you've sinned in a public manner or whatever, or if you haven't been coming to church as you should, please take care of it right now before we leave here. If we can help anybody, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.